Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Samach Beis. We are holding on daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis. We are at Hahu Da Amar Le L'Chavrei, last was online, or Da Amar Le, about 8 lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and the Nishmas' mother, Goldaba Simcha LeHashalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian, for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha, for our soldiers and our captives, they should return home safely, as well as by Sheldon Hamburger, in honor of the yard site of his father, Joel Hamburger, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to discuss is when we try to figure out what is included in a sale based on the precise language that's used by the seller. If he says something vague, I'm selling you land, I'm selling you these lands, I'm selling you all my lands. What does he mean exactly when he says all of these different types of Lashonos? Then the Gemara is going to spend the majority of the daf discussing how much of a land is included in the sale when the seller defines some of the borders, but either they're uneven, so we can't just square it off, it's not so easy to figure out what he meant, or there are other ways where his border markings do not make it perfectly clear exactly what he meant. And that's why you see all of these diagrams in the Rashbam and in Tosos over here. Don't get scared by these diagrams, they actually make it much, much easier. It's not it's actually not hard Gemara. The diagrams actually do what they're supposed to do, and they make it pretty straightforward, pretty easy to read. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss, what if you sell a land and you identify three of the borders of the land, but you never identify the fourth border? So what do we do about the area right adjacent to that fourth border? So the Gemara is going to have two Lashonos about what exactly Rava's Psak was in that case. And then at the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to discuss how you can tell when a shutaf, someone who's a shutaf in a property, so he only owns half of the property. So when he says, I'm selling you half the property, so how do you know what he means? Does he mean half of what he owns in the property, which is really a quarter of the property? Or does he mean half of the property, which is my entire ownership stake of this property? So the Gemara is going to discuss how we could tell what he means in those cases. So let's begin, again, about 8 lines from the end of the page. Ahu damalei lechavrei. So ahu damalei lechavrei. Ara debechia mizbanin alach, or mizabnin alach. I am selling you the land of Beis Chia, which means land that I bought from Rabbi Chia. So therefore, this land was always known as Rabbi Chia's land, even though it's no longer Rabbi Chia's land. It's my land now, but I'm selling it to you. You know, the land that everyone knows of as historically having been Rabbi Chia's land. So thing is, he had two different lands. He had two different properties that were both called the Beis Chia. So which one did he mean to sell? Or did he mean to sell both? So Amar Avashi, Chada Amalei, Tarti Lo Amalei. He said, Ara. Ara is a single land. So we assume he's selling one of them, and he's not selling both of them. And since he didn't say which of the two he's selling, so the Lokeach gets the worse of the two lands, because Yad Baal Ashtar Al Tachtona, you can't be Motzi from the seller any more than you can prove you're owed, and you can only prove that you're owed one land, and you can't prove which one it is, so you're going to have to settle for the lower quality of the two lands. But v'yamarle arasa, but if he says arasa, which is plural, that's like saying karkaos, stama, without saying with the number of karkaos, so miyat arasa shtayim, then it's got to be at least two, meaning even if he owns 10 lands that belong to Rabbi Chia, but two of those lands are included, because arasa is plural, and we assume that the minimum of a plural is going to be two, so you can't prove that he means any more than two, but we know that he at least means two. The Ritva says, well, why don't you just look at the price and figure out based on that how many lands he meant, how many properties he meant. So the Ritva says all the same answers we said previously when we asked that same question about looking at the price. That with land, you can't always tell based on the price. Real estate people are willing to pay more for. Location is everything. You know, those kinds of approaches. Now, from the Gemara, it does seem very clear that anytime you have a suffix mamon in something that said b'loshon rabim, where a person didn't say how many it is, we always assume you can only get two, because that's the smallest number of a Lashon Rabim. So based on that, Tosos raises a kasha. Tosos in Dibra Maskel Arasa, and the other Rishonim also asks the kasha, why is this any different than what the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Kuf Gimel says, that if someone says, Hishilani Kardomcha Almanas Ladorbo as Pardesai, a guy says, I'd like to borrow your shovel so that I could use it in my orchards. And he didn't say how many orchards he plans and using it on. So the Gemara over there says, probably all of them. So if he has 10 orchards, he could use it on all 10 before he has to return it. What do you mean, probably all of them? Frektosos, it shouldn't be probably all of them. It should be two of them. The minimum of a plural is two. Our Gemara says, whenever you use a plural, you always mean two. So Tosos' first answer is that the klal of miyut rabim shnayim, that you always assume means two, is only by a mechira, not by a she'ela, because by when you're lending someone something, the assumption is you're lending it for whatever his needs are, as opposed to by a mechira, it's a negotiation. You're trying to get the best possible position, so you're probably selling as little as you possibly can. So that's the chilik that Tosus makes. Then he quotes Rivam, who suggests that the Gemara over there is talking about a shoel who says pardesai or pardesai, which implies all the pardesim that I have. Over here, he uses the lashon of arasa, which is arasa stam, which sounds multiple but not all. So there is a slight difference in the lashonos. That's how Tosus quotes from the Rivam. The Rama has a third teretz. He says that the lashon of arasa is a lashon that we're not sure if it means two or it means all of it or it means any other number. And by every suffix, we say a motzi mechavero alav haraya. But when you're borrowing a kardom, the kardom is becheskas hashoel, meaning I know that this is borrowed. Now the question is, how long can I keep it, or how many of my properties can I use it on? So I have a chazaka on this kardom, so I could use it on all of my properties. But when it comes to how much is included in a sale, so the seller is the muchzak. So I can't take any more than the bare minimum of what the seller might have meant. So what the Avraham is saying is there's no difference in the lashonos, there's a difference in the chazaka, in who's considered to be the muchzak. And that's how we answer the difference between our Gemara and the Gemara Maseches Bava Metzia. So again, our Gemara had said that if a guy says, I'm selling you a land de Bechia, he only sells one, and it's the worst of the lands of Bechia. If he says lands, then it's two. Then it's got to be a minimum of two. V'yamalei kol arasa. If he says kol arasa, I'm selling you, then kol arasa de islei lebar mi bustane pardese. Now the word ara refers to all types of lands except for gardens and vineyards, because they're not called arasa. Rabbeinu Yonah writes that a lashon of arasa means aratzos. It means lands. Ginos and pardesim are not included in the Mechira, and obviously Batim are not included in the Mechira either, because Aratzos means places that are not Makom Yishuv. So Ginos and Pardesim are considered enough of a Makom Miyushav, then for sure Batim are considered a Makom Miyushav. Arasa means fields, open fields, that kind of thing. So it does not include the Ginos and Pardesim. V'yamar lei Ziara, but if he says Ziara, which means the entire Nachla that I'm selling you, which implies not just lands, but even a makom yushav, then afilu be bustani upardisi, then it even includes the gardens and the orchards, lebar mibati v'avdi. But even that does not include houses, and it does not include avadim. V'yomerle nichsa nechasai, if he says, I'm selling you my nechasim, my properties, my possessions, so then afilu bati v'avdi. Then it even includes the batim and the avadim, it even includes the homes and the avadim. The Rishonim discuss, does it include metaltalim? Meaning, does it include things that are that do not have a din like karka? Batim or karka? Avadim have a din like karka? So there are a whole bunch of shitos in the Rishonim. The Rashbam writes, no. The Gemara said that if you say nechasai, it includes bati v'avdi. If it included metaltalim, the Gemara would have said a bigger chiddush. Now the Rashbam says there is a way to include metaltalim. You would have to say kol nechasai. You'd have to add an extra word to show that you're selling all of your possessions. So that would include metaltalim as well. Tosos brings a raya from a Gemara later on in the Masechta, on Daf Kuf Nun, where we talk about a Shchiv Mira, a guy who's dying, who says, Kol Nechasai Luploni, that I'm giving Kol Nechasai to so-and-so, where he said that even a Beged, which is Metaltalin, is included in Nechasai. And Tosas brings a Raya that there's no Chilik, whether you say Kol or you don't say Kol, and therefore Tosas says, two ways to understand it. Either is that the chiluk is between whether you're saying kol nechasai, where the metaltim are not included, versus kol nechsayai, meaning whether it's one yud or two yuds in the word nechasai. So that would be more inclusive if it's kol nechsayai, because it implies more than just nechasai. The other way, Tosfos and Mechalik, between nechasai, that when it comes to a mecher, where we assume you're not including metaltim, versus a matal, where we assume that the metaltalim are included. Because in general, we always have, whenever we talk about a matana, the guiding principle is hanosein ba'ayin yafa hunosein, that when a person is giving, he's always giving in as generous a way as possible. When a person is selling, he's not always selling in as generous a way as possible. So that's how we can reconcile why it is over here that when we say nechasei, it includes bati va'avadai, but it sounds like it does not include metaltalin. And yet later on, when it comes to a shchiv, it sounds like it does include metaltalin. That's how Tosfos reconciles it. Rabbeinu Yonah says, no, over here he said, kol nechasai, this all builds off of the first case the Gemara said, that it was debei chia, that the whole point was that these were properties that used to be known as Rabbi Chia's properties. So that's what's going on in our Gemara. He said, kol nechasai debei chia ani mochalach. So it has to be something that's known as Rabbi Chia's stuff. Metaltalin never takes on the shame of the Bailim. Metaltalin was never chashuv enough to be known as the property or the possession of so-and-so. It's only karka that would have such a shame, or avadim, or batim, that would have such a shame. So that's how we reconcile, says Rabbeinu Yonah, our Gemara with the Gemara about Matna Shchiv Mira. In our Gemara, you're saying, Kol Nechsei Tebei Chia, I'm giving you. Oh, the only things that are going to have Rabbi Chia's name attached to it are going to be Karka. Over there was a Shchiv Mira saying, Kol Nechasei, I'm giving everything. So giving everything means giving everything. It means all of his metaltalim as well. Okay, so that's the discussion about what's included when a person uses such terminology. He said, Nechsei Tebei Chia, he says arasa debechia, or kolarasa debechia, or ziara debechia, or nichse debechia. So those are the different lashonos, and they each include a different amount of lands and properties. So now the Gemara discusses, what if you mark off the borders of what exactly you're selling to the fellow, but it's not abundantly clear from the borders that you mark off what exactly is included? So that's the majority of the daf. So says the Gemara, Meitzar lo, Meitzar echad aruch, Meitzar echad kotzer. So you identify two borders that are opposite to each other, but one of them goes 100 amos across, and the other one only goes 50 amos across. So how much of the land in between are you selling? Are you only selling 50 amos across the land, or are you selling the full 100 amos across the land, or something else? So Amar Rav, lo kana ela keneged hakotzer, that it's only 50 amos. So you're only selling keneged hakotzer. So if you have on the northern border, let's say you mark off 100 amos, and on the southern border you mark off by a 50 amma, identify it by a 50 amma border. So you only sell 50 amos north to south, 50 amos of width, north to south. Amulei Rav Kana Rav Asi l'Rav. So Rav Kana Rav Asi said to Rav, "No, v'yikna keneged rosh tur. Why shouldn't we just draw a line from the end of the 100 amma border to the end of the 50 amma border and make it diagonal? It will be a diagonal line, and you will have purchased everything inside that diagonal." Again, the charts are helpful over here, right? The first one that you see in the Rashbam is what Rav actually paskined, that lo kana ela keneged hakotzer, that you just draw the line right down the middle and you only get the right side of that line, right? And the second diagram that you see in the Rashbam is what we're suggesting now. Why don't you draw a diagonal line and you'll get everything within that that diagonal line? So Shasak Rav, once Rav was challenged on this and he was asked, why don't you just draw a diagonal and get everything within the diagonal? So Rav was quiet. He didn't say, he didn't respond. So the Rashbam writes, why was he quiet? Because he was moda. He was moda that he was wrong, that you don't only get the 50 amos. That you taka have to draw a diagonal, and you get it, and the anything inside that diagonal is included in the sale. Tosfos brings a raya that the Rav Shtika was not because he was just ignoring Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, and it must be that he actually did pay attention to them and he did accept their argument, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Vav tells us that Rav Kahana and Rav Asi were a Talmud Chaver of Rav, because they only needed him for a shmua, not for a svara. They only needed him for the traditions of the various halachos that he had learned from his rebbeim, but they didn't need him for svara. They were just as strong in svara as Rav was. So if that's the case, when they ask a kasha in svara, Rav had to pay attention. These weren't talmidim, these were chaverim when it came to svara. So there's no way Rav would have just dismissed them. He owes them the respect of having to respond to them if he has some sort of response. So Shasik Rav, therefore, is that Rav was Mekabel. And that's what the Ramban and the Rashba quote from Rabbeinu Hananel as well. Now, it's a little bit odd, because if Rav agreed to their kasha, the Gemara's next line is going to be Umoda Rav, but you should know, Rav is Moda, in this case, that can, right, it's going to come up with it, so we're going to start darshaning within Shitas Rav. What do you mean? Rav just rejected his own Shita. It was just Shasik Rav. Why would we start darshaning within Shitas Rav? So the way the Ritva explains, and the Rishonim explains, is, within the Havam, of what Shitas Rav would have been. Meaning that all of that, the Moda Rav that we're about to say, is within Rav's original position before he changed his mind. But once he was Shasik, he in fact changed his mind. The Rif, however, when the Rif quotes our Gemara, the Rif never really paskins directly. You just have to figure out based on what he quotes and what he doesn't quote. He leaves out the things that are not lahalacha. So he does quote Rav. He quotes Rav and he quotes the Kashan Rav, but he does quote Rav. He keeps the Gemara Kitsu Rasa. So the Ramban says, if he's quoting Rav, it means he's paskening like Rav. Otherwise, the Gemara and the Rif must have learned to paskin like Rav from the fact that it says Umoda Rav, that the Gemara goes on to discuss within Shitas Rav. And that's what the Rashba writes in the name of Yesh Omrim as well. And even though Rav never responded to their Taina, it must be that he did not agree to them, and he was Sumich on whatever tradition he had, that he was correct, that you're only Kona, the straight line down the middle of the field, you're only Kona the 50 Amos, and that must be what he really held. So Rav was not Moda to drawing a diagonal line. So those are two approaches in Rishonim as what Shasik Rav means. Either Shasik Rav means I have nothing to say and therefore I'm Moda, or Shasik Rav means look, you can say whatever you want, I have a tradition and I'm sticking with my tradition and therefore I am not Moda, and we're actually going to paskin like Rav. There is a third possibility of Shasik Rav. In the Tshuvas Imre Bina, he quotes a Ramami Panu, who says in his Sefer Yonas Ilem that Rav is Rabbi Abba, who's mentioned in the Zohar HaKadosh, who's a Talmud of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And any time it says Shasik Rav, it means that he has an answer al pi sod from his Rebbe, so he has a response al pi sod, but he didn't want to be Megala the sod. Meaning, since he learned from Rashbi, so he has an answer al pi Kabbalah, but the Gemara is not for Kabbalah, so Shasik Rav, he didn't say anything because it's not time to get into Kabbalah, so he didn't want to say his answer al pi Kabbalah. So based on that, Ramami Panu, the Chida writes in his in the Sefer Ya'ir Ozen, the Chida is like hundreds of Svarim, that Rav lived 400 years, and he was the Gadol HaChaverim that learned by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and by Rabbi Lazar by Rabbi Shimon, and he was the Rebbe of Rabbi Chia in Chachmas HaKabbalah, and then he was Meshamesh Rebbe and Rabbi Chia in Mishnah and Gemara, and in the quotes of Mashiach and Gvetzes, Rav lived 300 years. If it's the same Rav, he would have to have had a remarkably long life, right? Meaning if he was a Talmud of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and he was a Rav, he was Rav from the early generations of the Amoraim, he would have had to have lived a remarkably long life. So in Tshuvas Chavas Yair in Simon Kufnun Beis, he asks on the Ramami Panu that there's a Tosos in Baba Kama Dafir Aleph that says that when Rav was Shasak over there, it's a raya that we don't paskel like him. But according to the Ramami Panu, what do you mean? If when Shasak Rav, it means that he had an answer, but it was Alpi Kabbalah, so he wasn't allowed to say it, or he didn't want to say it, or he didn't want to get into the Kabbalah. So why would we not paskel like him? Just because he was Shasak. Shasak doesn't mean that he admits that he was wrong. Shasak means that he has has an answer al pi kabbalah that he's not interested in sharing. So Chavos Yair says no, it could both be correct that it's a raya that we don't paskin like Rav. And it means that he had an answer al pi kabbalah because meichitesi we're going to paskin based on the kabbalah. We paskin based on the halacha. We don't paskin based on the kabbalah. That's a famous line in the tshuva of the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer has a tshuva in Or Chaim Simin Nun Aleph where he writes about quoting things from the Arizal in the matter of halacha. He says im ne'alamim lo avo. To get involved in that which is hidden, I'm not going there. V'yafa diber v'chein ani omer. That any time a person brings in Kabbalah into halacha, it's a violation of klayim. That you're not supposed to mix in Kabbalah with the halacha. They're totally separate disciplines, and they should not be mixed in with each other. So it's unclear exactly what the Chasam Sofer meant, because the Magen Avraham on every page of Shulchan Aruch is always quoting Minhag based on the Arizal and the Zohar HaKadosh. So you have all over the place in halacha where the Kabbalah plays a role. So you have to figure out exactly what the rules are. Yaakov Moshe Hillel has tshuvas on this topic where he tries to figure out when the Kabbalah plays a role in halacha, when it doesn't play a role in the halacha. The Radvaz writes that when there's a machlokas haposkim, the mekubalim could be machriya in the machlokas haposkim. If the Sifrei Kabbalah are cholik on the Gemara, then we paskin like the Gemara. When there's a chumra based on the Sifrei Kabbalah, then you could be machmir like the Sifrei Kabbalah, but not to be mekil like the Sifrei Kabbalah. Those are the rules that are laid out by the Radvaz. So again, those are three possibilities of what Shasuk Rav meant. Either Shasuk Rav meant, I got nothing to say, and therefore I'm Oda, and therefore I'm wrong, and we're not going to pass on like Rav. Shasuk Rav might mean that I don't have to respond because I have a Masorah that I'm correct, and therefore I'm sticking with my Masorah, and therefore we do pass on like Rav, which is the Rif. And then you have the Ramami Panu that Shasuk Rav meant, I have an answer, but it's Al Pi Kabbalah, and therefore we're still not going to pass on like Rav, because an answer Al Pi Kabbalah is not going to be Machriya, the halacha. Okay, so that was all in the case where you make two borders on one side, you give a katzer, the other side the aruch. So Rav initially said just cut it down the middle, and then Rav Kana Rav Asa said no, make a diagonal, and you should get everything within the diagonal. But a moda Rav would be moda that hechadika makes a Reuven v'Shimon b'chad gisa, that if Reuven and Shimon own properties on let's say the eastern side of the field, Meitzer Levi v'Yehuda michad gisa, and Levi v'Yehuda on the western side of the field, opposite where Reuven and Shimon are. So you have a situation where the Meitzer of Levi is opposite from the Meitzer of Reuven, and the Meitzer of Yehuda is opposite the Meitzer of Shimon, which again, you have the picture, so it's pretty easy. So the Mocher writes in the Shtar HaMechira that I'm selling the Meitzer of Reuven and Shimon from the Mizrach, and Yehuda from the Maariv, and he doesn't mention Levi. So you see in the picture, right? Reuven and Shimon is the entire eastern border. Whenever they draw pictures, they always put the east on the top, so that's a little confusing. But Reuven and Shimon is the entire eastern border, and he only mentions Yehuda in the western border of the field. So that, Rav says, okay, that for sure you draw a diagonal, because mit dehavle in the michtavle, de Reuven keneged Levi, de Shimon keneged Yehuda, from the fact that he should have mentioned all four names to include, if he wanted to include the whole field, and if he only wanted to include half of the field, he should have just said Reuven Levi, or he should have just said Shimon Yehuda, and that would have included half of the field, velo kasavle, but that's not what he wrote. So Shemamina keneged Rosh Toru Darmale. So it must be that he meant that you're supposed to draw it on a diagonal. So in that case, even Rav would be Moda, and even Rav Lefi the Hava Amina would be Moda. So now the Gemara says, what about the following? Meitzer Reuven Mizrach Umarav, Meitzer Shimon Tzafon Vidarum. What if Reuven owns the fields to the east and to the west, Shimon owns the fields to the north and to the south, and you want to sell the field in between, right? In between those four borders. So Tzarech L'michtavlei Meitzer Reuven Ruchen Trin, or Meitzer Shimon Ruchen Trin. You need to say that you are selling on both borders of Reuven and both borders of Shimon to make it clear that you're marking off all four borders, and then what would be included in the sale is everything in between. But if you just say the sada that I'm feeling you, that I'm selling you is mitzuya bein sados Reuven l'Shimon, it's in between Reuven and Shimon's fields. But you don't say two of Reuven's fields, you don't say two of Shimon's fields. Then you just get a triangle. You draw a diagonal across. Again, you see the diagrams. So the next diagram is you draw a diagonal across, and he gets one of those triangles because each of those triangles border one of Reuven's fields and one of Shimon's fields, and that's all he's going to get. So the Gemara raises the following shayla: Siim lo sakranos. Let's say you only mark off the corners of the field, not the borders of the field, not the full length of the border. Somehow you identify just the corners. So what do you mean to do? Mahu. What do we assume your intention is by marking off only the corners of the field? The two possibilities are you're selling everything within those corners, the entire field, or maybe you're just making like a big X and you're marking off the corners, and you should just draw a line from one corner to the opposite corner, the other corner to the opposite corner, and you're just selling him a big X in the field. So, or the Gemara says, I'll give you another shayla. Kimin gam. Let's say you don't just mark off the dot at the corner, but you make like a gam. A gam is like an L shape. So you mark off like the beginnings of each side by marking off the corners. Kimin gam. That's also one of the pictures you have here in the Rashbam on the bottom of the page on the left side over there. Right, an L shape on the top right and an L shape on the top left. So do we assume that you're starting to draw, you're sort of like painting a picture of where these borders go, and you're supposed to connect those lines and you sell the whole field in between? Or do we assume that no, you're only selling a diagonal line that you could draw from one L to the other L, which is the bottom picture that you have on in the Rashbam? So kimin gam mahu, which way do we assume you intend to sell in that case? That's the way at least the Rashbam understands it. The way the Rashbam drew the pictures, the way the Rashbam understands it. Tosfos quotes from the Ri and many other Rishonim as well. Quote from Rabbeinu Hananel and others that in the case where we say that it's kimin gam, what it really means to say is that the case in the Gemara is you mark off two of the borders that are close to the field that we're talking about, the eastern and the northern borders, or the western and the southern borders. And that's what we're asking. If you mark off two of the full borders, so what do we mean? Do you mean to sell the whole field, or do you mean to make a triangle in such a case and only sell that part of the field? That's how Tosos learns. It's unclear what the Rambam learns, because the Rambam quotes, Osha siyim lo shnei mitzarim kimin gam. So the Gra says he's learning like Tosos. Shnei mitzarim means that you're identifying two full borders of the field. That's how the Gra understands the Rambam. That goes Maimonios and Ozayin understands the Rambam like the Rashbam. That no, the point is that it's kimin gam, that you're just making these two L-shaped corners, and that's what you're identifying over here. The Ad Ramah has a third way of understanding what kimin gam means, that you mark off in the Shtar Mechira by each keren kimin gam, meaning kimin gam is not just in two corners, but you do kimin gam in four corners, like pasei biraos. If you remember in Erevin, the pasei biraos, you mark off like four L-shaped in the corners. Okay, but the pashtus is like the Rashbam, let's say. That's the easiest way to learn it, because we have the best pictures for the Rashbam. So if you mark off the two corners kimin gam, mahu, what's the din then? What do you intend? So again, so far we have how many unanswered questions? We wanted to know CMS as Loas Akranos Mahu, and now Kamin Gam Mahu. So two questions that we've posed without giving any answers, that if you only mark off the actual corners or L-shaped on the corners, and now the Gemara says a third Shaila, Biseirugin Mahu. What if it's Biseirugin? And again, a wonderful picture over here. So in the Rashbam, you see the picture. Reuven, Shimon on the eastern side, and Levi, Yehuda on the northern side, and Zvulun and Yisachar and Zvulun on the western side, and Yosef and Binyamin on the southern side, right, of the field. And you tell the guy, I'm selling you the field that borders on Reuven, Levi, Yisachar, and Yosef. So you do Seirugin, you skip everyone in between. So do you make a pizza pie out of it and you only give him four slices, right? Because you only mentioned four of the names, even though there are eight fields that border on it? Or do we say, no, you were just being lazy about identifying
the full border, but you're supposed to connect the dots over here. So if I said Reuven Levi, it meant then Shimon who's in between. And if I said Levi and Yisachar, it meant Yehuda who's in between. And you're supposed to connect the dots, and it's supposed to be all of it. So that's the Shaila. Mahu, what's the din in such a case? Says the Gemara, in all three of these Shilos, where you mark off the corners, where you make Kamin Gam in two of the corners, and where you do Biserugin, where you say every other border of the field, every other person that borders the field, teku. We leave all of it as a teku. Great. So what do we do with that if it's a teku? So the Adrama and many Rishonim say that anytime you have a teku, yala mocher al eliona. The mocher is the muchzak, and therefore the mocher, you can't, it's the smaller of the possibilities that the mocher has to give you. He does not have to give you the larger of the possibilities, and that's what the Rash Paskins, and that's what the Tor Paskins and Chosh Mishpat Simon Ratio test. However, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Mechira, Perek Chaf Aleph Halacha Tazayin, Siyem lo es hazavios bilvad, O shesiyem lo shnei mitzarim kmin gam, Hareza lo kona es kula, you're not kona the entire thing on the first two shilas, you're not kona the entire thing, Eli yikna mimena kefi ma shemasalo kamosha yiru adayanim, that it should be based on what the dayanim's assessment is. So Magen Mishnah writes that since it was left as a teku, the Rambam is paskening that you do a shuda de daini. That instead of saying amotzi mechaveru lavaraya, the dayanim do shuda de daini, they figure out what makes the most sense. Beis Yosef wonders why. Meaning we generally don't do that. We generally assume that amotzi mechaveru lavaraya. Why over here dafka is the Rambam going to do shuda de daini? So the Shach tries to figure out. Maybe the Rambam doesn't mean a regular shuda de daini. Maybe he means something else, but that's a second possibility of a shuda de daini. So again, the first possibility of what we do because it's teku is that the mocher is the one that's muchsak, and therefore he's only selling you the smaller of the two possibilities. Second is the Rambam, that it's shuta de daini. Then there's the third possibility. The Aruch quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel that it's momen amutl b'safik, so momen amutl b'safik cholkin. They split the difference, meaning we know that there's a minimum that he is selling him, and we know that there's a maximum of what he might be selling to him, so the difference between the minimum and the maximum, you split between them. That's momen amutl b'safik cholkin. Okay, so now the Gemara moves on to another discussion. Meitzah lo meitzah rishon meitzah Shlishi. Let's say you mark off three of the borders of the field, but you never identify the fourth border of the field. Samarav kona kol chutz mimetzer revi. That you're kona everything except for that row that's right on the fourth border. Shmuel amar afilu mimetzer revi. And Shmuel says, you cut everything, including the fourth border. Ravasi Amar, lo kana elatelim echad al pnei kula. Ravasi says, no, what you're doing is you're drawing a ches. Meaning, if you identify three borders, so he's not getting the whole field in between. He's just getting a ches. He's just getting one row on each of the borders that you identified. So how do you identify how wide that telim is? So the Ritva says it has to be sizable enough, that it should be tishas kavin, whatever the minimum size of a field is. So that has to be, but that's all you're giving him is a ches size. So Savala Karav Da'amar Shire Shir, the Ravasi holds like Rav that you're not giving everything, and me the Shibimetsu Shir Nami Bikuli. But Ravasi holds more than Rav, that if you're leaving off something, you're probably leaving off as much as you possibly can, and therefore you're probably only selling him a ches. So Amar Rava, how do we paskin? Hilchsa Kana Kol Chutz Mitzvah Revi. We paskin like Rav, that you're selling everything except for that fourth border. V'la Amaran, but now we make a qualification. And there are two ways of, there are two versions of Rava over here. So the first version of Rava is that everything's included in the sale except for Meitzah Revi'i, but there's a qualification. V'la Amaran, Elu D'lo Mivla. That's only if when you identify the three borders, you were not Boleya, the fourth border within the length of the two side borders. Aval Mivla, but if Kana, but if you, when you identified the two side borders, went all the way down and included that last fourth border in between it, so then we assume that you were kona that as well. V'chilo mivla, and even if the side borders were not boleya, the fourth border in its in the measurement, namilam aranel diikale richva didikla v'avitishus kavin, that you had to, the fourth border, if you're leaving it for yourself, it has to be something that's significant, that it's considered a field, so it's got to be tishus kavin, or it's a lot of decal trees. But if if that fourth border is tiny, it doesn't include anything, it doesn't really have much, then kana, then probably you're including it in the sale. You're not leaving it for yourself. Why would you leave for yourself something that's not even a field at all? Mechlal d'chimuvla, but the implication is that if you're boleya it in the borders, then no matter how substantial that fourth border is, if you were boleya it in the side markers, so then it's included anyway, right? The pictures are helpful over here for the picture of muvla and lo muvla, right? You see what it means by muvla, that on the side it goes all the way to include the row that's on the fourth border, and lo muvla is that it doesn't. The side borders do not go all the way to include that which is on the fourth border. So that is one version of Rava. Ikadamri Amar Rava. A second version of Rava is hilchsa kana kala filu meitzer revi. The halach is the guy's kona even the meitzer revi, but there's a qualification. Velo amran ella demivla, but that's only if you're mavliya the meitzer revi. Ava lo mivla lo kani. But if you're not mavliya the meitzer revi in your side borders, then he's not kona. V'chimivla nami lo amran ella delek ale richva didikla. And even if you are mavliya the fourth border in your side borders, he's only going to be kona if it's an insubstantial amount in the fourth border alone. V'lo avitishus kavin, it's not nine kavin. Avalika le richva didikla v'avitishus kavin lo kona. But if there's richva didikla and it's tishus kavin, it's a substantial amount. So I'm not selling that to you, even if I was mavliya. I'm keeping that for myself. So mechlal d'chilo mivla sounds like if I'm not mavliya the fourth border in my side borders, even if it's an insubstantial amount on the fourth border, I'm keeping that for myself. If I wanted to sell it to you, I would have been mavliya it in my descriptions of the side borders. So shaminim mitzavei lishni d'rava. What emerges from both lashonos of Rava, besada lo shir v'lo midi, that in the center of the field, that for sure you're selling, meaning not like the shita of, who was it that said that it's only like a ches that you're selling, not like the shita of Rav Asi, who said that it's tel mechal pnei kula, that it's only a ches. So clearly both lashonos of Rava hold that in the middle of the field, that for sure you're selling. The whole question is about that fourth border, the line across that fourth border. And what do we see about that from these two lashonos of Rava? Well, here's what we see. V'shamina nami deheicha dimivla, v'lekalei richva dikha v'lo avitishus kavin, kana. That if you have two arrows pointing in the same direction, meaning it's mivla, which implies that you're more likely to be selling that fourth border, and it's insignificant what's on that fourth border, so you're less likely to be keeping it for yourself. You're more likely to be selling it. When you have both arrows pointing in the direction of that you're selling it, then you're for sure selling it according to both lashonos of Rava. Lo mivla, v'ikale richva dikla v'avitish kavin, lo kana. If you have both arrows pointing in the other direction, pointing in the direction of that you're likely not selling it, meaning it's a low mivla, and it's what's on that fourth border is substantial, it might be something you want to keep for yourself, then for sure you're not selling it. What's the machlokas between the first lashon of Rava and the second lashon of Rava? If you have one arrow pointing in one direction and the other arrow pointing in the other direction, mivla the ikalei. If you have it's mivla, but you have it's a substantial amount, or lo mivla v'lek alei, or you're not mavliya that amount, but there are no tishakavin. It's an insubstantial amount on the fourth border. So then itmar lalahai gisa. You could argue one way or the other. So shudda d'dayni. So it's up to the dayanim to figure out whether you intended to sell what's on that fourth border or not. So it's pretty straightforward that you have two factors that you look at. If both factors point in the direction of a sale, it's a sale. If both factors point in the direction that it's not included in the sale, it's not included in the sale. If one points in the direction yes and one points in the direction no, so then it's a shudda d'dayni. We got to figure it out. Amar Rabba. So now a new discussion. Let's say a shutof says, I'm selling, so I'm a shutof in the field. I don't own the whole field. I only own 50%. And I tell you, I'm selling you half of what I own in the field. So palga, so you're buying my full half of the field. But if I say half of the arad isli of the land that I have, then riva, then you're only buying half of my portion, which is only 25% of the field. So Amalei, so Abaye said back to Rabba, Amalei Abaye, maishnahachi. Why would that make a difference? You know, whether you say the word half before you say ara, or the, you know, what difference is it? Palga ba'ara di isli, or palga di isli ba'ara. You say isli before the word ara, or isli after the word ara. So ishtik, so he said, I don't know, he didn't say anything. So Amalei, anas avri midisha kabili kabli. He said, I thought, when I made my argument and he was quiet, it must be he agreed. But Velohi, he didn't agree, because I noticed that Chazina, Hanu Shtari Dinafkim Beimar, I saw Shtaros that came out from his Beisdin, V'kasu Buhachi, and it said in the beginning of the Shtar that the Edom said, Palga di Isli Ba'ara, right? And in the end of the Shtar, he said, Palga, that what he was actually selling was half of the field, which means his entire portion. Palga Ba'ardisli, and any Shtar that said Palga Ba'ardisli, they then clarified Riva, that's their way of saying one quarter. So obviously he didn't accept Mechilik, even though he was Shasak, and I thought he was accepting Mechilik. He obviously was not actually accepting Mechilik. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up from Va'amar Rabba, four lines from the bottom of the page. Everyone have a wonderful day.